Hello,
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everybody. This is Sally Alcorti, and welcome to Public Advocate. I am going to have a guest by the name of Josh Dillon on, and he has started something called Philly Colloids on Facebook, which is where you can purchase colloidal silver from him. And I did. And my son just tried it for the first time last night, so I can't even give a report because he's not here. However, he is also a freedom activist, and Josh Dillon is, and he recommended a wonderful cheesesteak place to be in Philly when we met there, so I want to get the name of that in case I ever go back. Okay, I'm going to pick up Josh Dillon, freedom fighter and friend.
Sally?
Hi there, Josh.
How you doing?
How's the wife?
Everything's pretty good. How's everything going with you?
Pretty good, thank you. It's a nice day. We have chemtrails, unfortunately, so it's not a great day, but it's not as bad as it has been in the past.
Right. I'm going to go outside and take a look for myself.
Yeah.
See what's going on out here.
Pictures.
Nice day temperature-wise.
Yeah. Well, you post a lot of pictures of chemtrails, which I appreciate. I take a lot of pictures, but I don't post a lot of them. There's only so many configurations you can post after a while, you know?
Right. They all start looking the same.
Right. Exactly. But anyway, so... yeah, tell us about your Philly Colloids and how you got started with that page on Facebook, why you're selling colloidal silver, and what the benefits are and what the outcomes have been for your many customers.
Well, what got me started into looking into alternative treatments was because of Carrie's Lyme disease. And she's had Lyme, I guess you can call it chronic Lyme, where they didn't know what it was for a long period of time. It was able to really get a hold of her and I guess you can say burrow into her system. So for the first year, they didn't know what it was. So when they don't know what something is, they call it lupus, which just means an autoimmune response. So her body was fighting itself. And that causes all sorts of problems. So they didn't know what it was, so they call it lupus, and their genius method of making her better was to give her chemotherapy. Go figure. So they actually said this. What they wanted to do was destroy her immune system and then rebuild it back up. Now, I don't know what they're smoking over there, but... It just made her sicker and sicker and sicker. And we'd have to go up to her Lyme doctor every month, you know, for a checkup. And every month they'd be like, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep giving her the antibiotic shots that I have to give her in her rear end every week. So by this summer, she was near death, I guess you can say. She really felt like she was... she felt like she was going to die. And we went up to her Lyme doctor the one last time, and he just said, keep doing what you're doing. And at that point, I said, that's it. I've had enough. I have to take control, or we have to take control over her health and her treatment. So that's what got me looking into alternative treatments. And, you know, when I looked for, when I was doing my research, just researching how the world works, you come across how there's a couple different treatments for cancer. You know, there's cannabinoids, and there's changing the pH of your body, and there's, you know, avoiding GMOs, and, like, all the stuff that you can do. And I came across silver. And, you know, silver, like the metal, like zinc, copper, gold, silver. And silver has what's called, and it's not just silver, it's gold and zinc as well, it's called an oligodynamic effect. And what that means is that presence of silver, gold, zinc, those metals have a toxic effect on bacteria and viruses. So nature has provided us with a treatment for these superbugs and these viruses and bacteria. So one thing led to another, and just kept doing my research, trying to sift through the misinformation and sift through the disinformation when it comes to colloidal and ionic silver.
Well, so I would like you to tell me of all the different instances where people have had problems and after they took colloidal silver, the outcome, because this is the best way to give testimonials of how people's health or well-being improves. But before you do that, I want you to give me the name of the Philly cheesesteak place you recommended, because it was great. What was the name of that?
Was it Jim's on South Street?
I think it might have been
Jim's. I think that's the one I told you.
Yeah, it was great. I just couldn't remember the name because it's, I guess, such a simple name. There's nothing fancy about Jim, so I wouldn't remember that. Yeah, we had a good meal there. But, okay, let's get back to the testimonials that you have received.
Mm-hmm. So here's a good example. My next-door neighbor, she came over one night, and she had pink eye. And it was disgusting. Like, it was, like, sealed shut, and it was all crusty, and it was just disgusting. So Carrie said, well, why don't we put some colloidal silver in your eye? It's conjunctivitis. That's the name of it. So she sat on the chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she sat on a chair, and we took out a dropper, and Carrie, what'd you put, like 2 drops in her eye? Yeah, put 2 drops in her eye, and within, I'm not exaggerating here, I'm not lying, I'm swearing on a stack of Bibles here. Within 4 hours, her eye was to the point where she completely forgot that she even had a problem with her eye.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Because if anything, like when you have something like, you know, in your mouth, if you have a bad tooth or you have something, you know, you're always aware of it because you're always, like, screwing with it. So within about 4 hours, she had completely forgot that she even had a problem with her eye. And it was visibly, noticeably better. So that's just one example, and that's because she's right next door. I had a buddy, Mark. My friend Mark was in the hospital he had a staph infection in his hand. Now, if you go onto the Philly College Facebook page, there's a before and an after picture of Mark's hand. And he was in the hospital for 5 days. For 4 of those 5 days, he was receiving intravenous antibiotics, and he was on 3 different kinds. Because, you know, a hospital only has a couple of different antibiotics to choose from when it comes to these infections. So and if it doesn't work, it's then called an antibiotic-resistant infection, which is exactly what he had in his hand. So on the 5th day, he came home from the hospital, and his hand was like the size of a cantaloupe. It was so swollen, and he was in such pain. He was literally shaking in pain, and he had tears coming down his face. So I said, well, if there's ever time for colloidal silver to see if this is the real deal, then now's the time. So I gave Mark some colloidal silver, and I gave him some to take home. And the after picture, which is about 36 hours later, you can see that his hand drastically decreased in size, about 75%. And within a week, he was completely healed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is. I saw the picture of his hand before and after. That was mm-hmm. quite remarkable. I just mm-hmm. wanted to say, getting back to Carrie, actually, mm-hmm. how did this improve her? Because I don't. She was on death's door. She was taking the chemotherapy. She was actually on chemotherapy.
She stopped doing the chemotherapy. Pretty soon after they started giving it to her, because it was making her super, super sick. As you can imagine,
right.
If this was like pill form chemotherapy, not like the intravenous kind. But so, I mean, she was literally bedbound. She couldn't get out of bed. Her hips and her joints were so painful that when she did walk around, she was walking around with the use of a cane.
Right. Which is what I meant. So, I meant her when she was using a cane.
Right, exactly, yeah. So once we started on the clue of silver, I would say within a couple of weeks there was a noticeable change, and within a month she was no longer on death's door.
And
it, it completely changed, her quality of life turned around completely.
Wow. So now she was plagued with Lyme disease, with you don't even know if she actually had lupus, but she was diagnosed as having lupus.
Right.
And she also had suffered a terrible reaction from the HPV, which reawakened her Lyme, I believe, from the HPV vaccine, which
sure.
reawakened
yep.
her Lyme, as it is known to do, by the way. This is not a rarity. So she had a lot of problems, including inability to walk without a cane and
mm-hmm.
bedridden. And now
mm-hmm.
she is, ask her, do you feel vibrant? Ask her if she feels vibrant.
Kara, do you feel vibrant? She said, yes, she does.
Awesome. Well, that's pretty
But you know what? It's
awesome,
not like there are still some times when she's not feeling well. So it's not something that, like, it completely disappeared. This is an ongoing battle. Remember, this disease had years to get itself into her body, into her system. And
right.
with, you know, you throw the HPV thing that she had, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, you add that on top of it, and it's really an uphill battle. And it's
sure.
I'm thankful that we've rediscovered, I mean, silver as a medicine is an ancient technology. For 6,000 years of recorded human history, people have been using silver as an antibiotic antiseptic. For example, kings and queens would never drink water out of a barrel that was not lined with silver because they knew that they would get sick. Another example of how silver was used, there was a standing order in the Roman army that every soldier had to swallow a denarii, which is a silver coin, that they had to keep inside them, and then, you know, when they went to the bathroom, they had to clean it off and swallow it again. It was a standing order to keep that inside of them, and it kept them from getting dysentery. Now, I'm sure 5,000 years ago, they didn't understand why that happened, but they just knew, and if you talk to, you know, maybe your parents or grandparents, if they're still around, where they would take a silver coin and put it in a glass of water next to the bed at night, and then in the morning they would get up and they would drink the water. Now, I'm sure they didn't understand why they did that. It was just something that was passed down from generation to generation, but it's with that same mind frame, you know, that same way of thinking about silver being an antibiotic antiseptic.
Well, actually, Josh, I would love to ask my mother about that. However, she got the pneumonia vaccine and had a stroke, so she wouldn't know what I'm asking her. Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in. Yes, I'd like to, but I can't.
Right.
Anyway, so let us get back to other. This is very interesting, the history of how it's been used. I had
mm-hmm.
no idea. You've done
mm-hmm.
your research, Josh. Good for you.
Well,
okay, go ahead.
Sure, I was going to say, if you look at the bubonic plague, a lot of the wealthy and the, you know, the people that ran the religious organizations, they survived the Black Plague. They were eating off of silverware, and they were drinking out of silver goblets, and they were using, you know, silver utensils. And you've probably heard the term, you know, born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Back in the day, they used to give babies literally a silver spoon to suck on, and they would have silver pacifiers for the baby to suck on. So this is something that's old technology, and even up until World War II, the Army was using silver in the medical field, where they'd have silver thread for to sew up sutures and silver impregnated bandages. And even to this day, 70% of all the burn units in America, Europe, and Australia have bandages that are impregnated with silver, because they know it has, not only does it have antibacterial qualities, it also has cell rejuvenation qualities. It's amazing. Like, every time I look into it, there's something else I find.
Well, you know, I used to go bed to bed in the burn unit of Cornell Medical Center or New York City Medical Center, and I don't know what they were treating these people with, but it wasn't silver. When I heard that it has all these properties to repair burns, I thought, are they just torturing people? If they know this, you know, at the time I did shows in cancer hospitals and burn units, and I'm thinking, upon reflection, all of these people were being tortured.
I agree. One of the things that really bothered me, there was a video that's going around about a little boy named Cash who had cancer, and he was about 2 years old, and he was being, you know, pumped full of the radiation and the chemotherapy, and he was near death. He had some kind of mass behind his eye and his brain, and his dad took it upon himself to put a little bit of cannabis oil in his feeding port in his stomach, and noticed that within hours, the kid was already starting to eat, and that sparked something in my mind of, I can't believe that they're letting people, especially children, suffer, literally suffer and torture these poor kids to death over a course of months. I mean, it just doesn't get worse to me than that.
Right.
So once I saw that, I was under the mind frame of nature will provide an answer to whatever problems that we have. You know, and you're letting Big Pharma get in the way, like starting back in post-World War II, when the Rockefeller Foundation came in and they started changing everything from, you know, silver medicine and cannabis medicine, they changed it to chemicals made in a lab medicine where they're just managing your symptoms and they're never finding a cure. You know, Chris Rock said there's no money in the cure. Well, he's right. But now you add the torture on top of it, and it's just, I can't even wrap my mind around it sometimes.
Right. Well, I just saw a video that I'm going to post in the comment area, and Josh is going to post additional links in the comment area, I'm sure, of the different issues we speak about. I have his Facebook page and an interview I did with him and my page underneath the screen, but we will add additional links to the comment area. But I was just watching a video the other night where, of course, the oral polio vaccine all throughout the third world country and then in the Philippines and in Syria, it's just unspeakable. Mm-hmm. But, in fact, they were targeting in Africa a community that had a lot of HIV, which in the insert says, do not give this to people with HIV. So, you know, it's just as glaringly sinister as an agenda can get.
Sure. If you do a search, 70,000 kids in India were paralyzed after receiving a polio vaccination. I'm pretty sure 70,000 if you just search that.
10,000 dead in Pakistan, my friend. 10,000 dead in Pakistan. And I interviewed the woman. I can't tell you how many times this interview was interrupted. Three different times I finally got to interview her. But what she was reporting was that basically in one campaign in Pakistan, they killed three times as many people altogether as have been killed by drones, okay, since 2004.
It's amazing.
Since 2004. And they were all children. So, don't even get me started. So,
I know, right? It drives you crazy.
Yeah. So let us get back to testimonials regarding different people. I know you said something about hair loss. There was somebody who was experiencing hair loss.
I don't remember hair loss, but there was somebody.
Okay,
next door to where I live, there's a place called the Random Tea Room, and it's a tea shop, antique shop, and they let me come speak there about silver a few weeks ago. And I was handing out little one-ounce samples to everybody. And there was only about 10 of us there. Six of them were there completely by accident. But they just happened to be there on a good night. So anyway, I gave silver out to everybody. And there was one girl who was friends with the owner of the tea room who had a really bad chest cold. And it was just, she was so sick that she almost didn't come that night to see the silver talk. Anyway, the next day I talked to, I digress. We drank to health, where the 10 of us took a, you know, took an ounce of colloidal silver, and within an hour, she already started feeling better. Now, I spoke to the owner the next day, and the girl who happens to be her friend, she had mentioned that by the next day, her cold had completely disappeared. And another thing that even that surprised me that I never even heard of, she goes, I think my depression is gone. Now, I was like,
whoa.
I've never heard of any, now, I've never heard of anything like that. I was like, even I was skeptical. So, you know, instead of scoffing at something that I've never heard before, which a lot of people do when they hear things that they've never heard before, their first reaction is to dismiss it. I just did some research, and some of the research that I found was that depression is some depression, not all depression, but depression in, is the symptom of a viral infection that's in the spinal fluid and in the skull that regular medicines cannot get to because there's the blood-brain barrier. They just can't get through. So I happened to find this guy's blog, and it's titled How I Accidentally Cured My Depression. And what the guy was doing was he was a scientist. He was he worked in a chemistry lab, and he was getting warts, little warts on his face. Now, we know that warts are from a virus. So he started taking colloidal silver for the warts on his face, and what he realized that was after a couple of days that his depression had gone. So I dug a little bit further, and I found a study from Harvard.edu called Infection, Autoimmune Disease Linked to Depression. So it would make total sense that if depression is caused by a virus, colloidal silver kills viruses. Ipso facto, there's your depression. So it made a lot of sense to me, and I would love for other people to, because this is all an experiment. I mean, since the FDA had its final ruling about silver, you know, in the 20s, when they decided that it was no longer a medicine and couldn't be, you can't say that colloidal silver cures anything. It's a treatment. It's classified as an orphan drug, like garlic or oregano, which means that it's so good and there's so much of it, they can't regulate it. So now that we don't have this, we don't have a lot of, it costs a fortune to study medicines and supplements inside the human body. It's easier to do something like in a test tube. So a lot of what we're doing here with colloidal silver is we are experimenting. We're experimenting on ourselves. And, well, the beauty of silver is that you can't overdose on it. So that's not something you have to worry about. But we are experimenting. Like when it comes to Carrie's Lyme disease, we're experimenting on how much colloidal silver should we give her. You know, how often should we give it to her? So a lot of this, it's exciting. And, you know, we're seeing some incredible results and hearing some incredible stories from it. Fernando, he runs, Fernando Aguilera, he runs the Survive and Thrive in Philadelphia. I did a silver talk this last Sunday, and there was a girl there that he had given colloidal silver to, you know, from me, and then he gave it to her because she experiences severe urinary tract infections pretty much her entire adult life. So she would get 8 of them every year. Now, her dad is a medical doctor, and she's been on every type of antibiotic, you know, that she could take to no avail. But as soon as she took colloidal silver, she said within minutes, this is what she said, not what I'm saying, she said within minutes she could feel a difference down there. And she hasn't had any urinary tract infection since she started taking the silver. And her dad is still, like, skeptical. You know, it's that some nuts are harder to crack, but, you know, for his entire life as, his training as a doctor, he's been taught and trained that if it doesn't come from, you know, big pharma, then it doesn't work. And we all know that, you know, the Chinese have been, you know, messing with acupuncture for thousands and thousands of years, and it's still around. Yet Western medicine will poo-poo that, you know, that type of medicine, which is very frustrating, but, you know, that's their problem, really.
Right. Well, okay. So
I'm just trying to pass on the information to everybody, let them know that there's other options out there.
Right. I hear that. It wasn't hair loss. It was a hair. There's somebody who had some kind of an open wound.
I think you're talking about folliculitis, and what that is, that's an infection of the hair follicles, and it creates these open, oozing, very painful sores.
Okay.
And this is another story from Fernando. He had a husband and wife, who had a two-year-old little girl who had folliculitis all over her body, very painful. And how do you deal with a two-year-old who's in constant pain? So, of course, you know, they went through the whole antibiotic route. Nothing worked. But as soon as they started taking colloidal silver, it was within a couple of days it was gone.
Well, that's really big. That's really
important.
And that's
what makes it worth it right there, is like having a kid who didn't have to suffer. You know, that's a goal. It's one of my goals.
Okay, so now I know that Dr. Carly drinks it. She gives it to her pets to drink. She cleans her floors and windows with it. She uses it for absolutely everything. And she said there are no side effects. There's no negative effect to this. So
no, but I just want to make a point that all colloidal silver is not the same. Like I said at the beginning, like I have to sift through so much disinformation and misinformation, and a lot of the misinformation is just people that just don't know and they think they're doing the right thing or they think they have colloidal silver. If you have colloidal silver, if you buy it and it's clear, it's not colloidal silver. Colloidal silver is never clear. That would be ionic silver, something completely different. Just to put that out there.
Okay. Now, what kind of silver did you send me?
I sent you real colloidal silver, that nice deep amber color.
Yes.
And see, what happens is when you send electricity through metal in distilled water, ions of that metal are jumping off of, like, for example, the silver rods. So silver ions will be jumping off into the distilled water. Silver ions, by definition, they're missing an electron, so they're ionic. So they're looking and searching for any. They're looking to become whole again. So if you drink ionic silver, the salt in your stomach, the chloride, will and the ionics and the silver ions will grab onto each other, and you will create silver chloride, which still isn't bad for you, but you're not getting the effects. You're not getting what you're looking to get out of taking silver. So there's a step that we do to convert ionic into colloidal, and then that's where you get that nice amber color, because it'll go from clear and then it'll slowly turn into a nice deep amber color. And what you have
the reason I'm clarifying is it's an amber color, but it's clear. It's not like
right. It's crystal clear like water, but it just has an amber color to it.
Right.
And
what that is
you have silver particles that can make its way through your stomach acid and get to the parts of your body that need it.
Right. Okay. Now, you know, are there other testimonies that you would like to share with us, or can we go on to another issue now?
Well, we can go to another issue. You know, just people in general are cold and flu, just like within hours they feel maybe 50% or better than they did when they first took it. I've just seen that firsthand time and time and time and time again.
Wow. So, okay. Well, what else do you want to talk about, Josh?
I don't know. I kept seeing these fake snow videos going around. Have you seen them?
Yes, I have. I haven't really had the time to look into them. What's the deal with that?
Well, where people are taking snowballs from outside, they're compacting it and holding a lighter to it, and it doesn't drip away. It seems to kind of disappear, like as if you're melting plastic, and it has a smell of burning plastic. So I don't know. We're just trying to figure out, you know, it has to do with, you know, the geoengineering, what they're spraying, you know, in the clouds. You know, what goes up must come down. So trying to figure out what's the deal with that. But I thought that's pretty interesting. I don't know whose idea it was to, hey, I'm going to light some snow on fire.
If you go to my Operation Blue Sky NYC, which is my chemtrail Facebook page, you'll see Kristen Megan, and she gives a lecture, and she says to email her, and she'll tell you where to send samples. A lot of the laboratories will not test samples of what the outcome from chemtrails are. So there are very few who will. But she couldn't announce which ones will, so you have to write to her. I believe it's KristenMegan@gmail.com. But if you,
was she the Air Force girl?
That's right. She's a whistleblower. Exactly.
Yeah,
and,
I remember her.
I've got her pinned to the top of Operation Blue Sky NYC, and she gives the information in that speech. It's a short speech. It's a really important speech because she's saying, don't, you know, here she is in the military. Military people are supposed to be courageous and brave. And she's like, where's the courage? Where's the bravery? You know, sometimes you have to be brave not in the way you're being told to be brave, but you're supposed to be brave, period, you know? And that's a point I take very seriously. You know, people do things that peril their lives, yet they won't speak out against wrongdoing and injustice. It's kind of crazy when you think about it, isn't it?
What did Jefferson say? All that tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for men of good conscience to do nothing?
That's it. That's it all
right. That says it right there.
Right.
I mean, if you see something going on, you're just as guilty by not saying anything.
Well, she's challenging them to, and everybody, to do the right thing. You know, you're willing to, you know, carry out orders which often compromise your morality, and yet you can't, and you're putting your life on the line to do it. Can you do that for morality? Can you do that for morality is the question. Wow. So, she's just a little person, and she's a kind of a sweet person, but she's a strong and brave person, and we shouldn't have to look at her and say, you're so brave. We should look at her and go, there's a gal doing her job. There's a gal who took her oath seriously, you know? And,
right, because imagine if imagine if hundreds of people came out and blew the whistle, how things could change overnight.
Well, everybody's scared of the repercussions, and yet here they are going off to war. You couldn't be that scared.
Yeah, but what are the repercussions if you don't say anything? You know what I'm saying? It's not like you can hide from all this stuff that's going on. You can't hide from vaccines. You can't hide from genetically modified food. You can't hide from the stuff that they're spraying over you. And just by being a turtle and sticking your head in it, it's not going to make it go away. It's just going to make it worse.
Right. And they have the wonderful, their system is set up such that people who really are bold and moral are ridiculed. It is just the most peculiar outcome. You know, that's cause for ridicule. I'll be, no kidding, bravery and morality are to be ridiculed. Awesome.
Well, we are living in it's like a backwards Twilight Zone kind of world that we're living in, where literally 2 + 2 = 5 if you wanted to.
Right.
You know, that's what they're teaching kids. Like, they don't want to get the kids upset by marking them wrong. So it's like, okay, do whatever you want to do. And you see the results of that. Just look around. You know, kids can hardly read in college.
I would like to do a call out right now for anybody who is listening live program, because we have got to get, Obama is trying to make Congress completely irrelevant. Now, they have earned that, in my view, in terms of representing us. But they are our only voice in government. He's not our voice. The Congress is supposed to be our voice, right? The House of Representatives.
But they're ceremonial. We've seen that they're ceremonial. They really hold no power.
Well, he's going to get away with it because they have given away the store. You can't imagine how many times I have called my congressperson and other congresspeople and say, listen, we want to go to bat to keep you relevant, but you're giving us no reason whatsoever to do that.
That's right.
You know? Why don't you stand up for us? And then we will stand for you. So stop, if you want to be irrelevant, keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I remember when Senator, Leon Panetta, the head of the Joint Chiefs, was in front of Senator Sessions, and Senator Sessions asked him, who do you take your orders from? Who does the United States military take their orders from? And he said, the United Nations and NATO. I mean, it's right. He said it right there. It's like Congress is ceremonial. So
he said, we may tell you. Yeah, I think he said, we may tell you what we're doing. Okay,
right, if we
like
want
that.
To. Right.
Yeah.
We're in big trouble. I can't remember who described it like this, but let's say we were on a cruise ship, and then the cruise ship got taken over by pirates, and then the pirates put on the cruise ship uniform, and are we going to go to those new crew members and try to air our grievances? They're pirates. They don't care. Just because they're wearing a uniform doesn't mean that they're going to listen to us. And it's kind of similar to how we're living right now.
Right, exactly.
We've been taken over.
This is why I went from banned vaccines 2013 to vaccine 3 2014, is because they know that vaccines are wrong. I have spoken at length to many, and they really get it. It's not that they don't understand.
Sure.
So if they understand that they're poison and they're killing our kids and the intent is to do that, and they still do nothing, we have to
Once you get once you get past the idea, like, hey, there's really a program that is designed to depopulate people and make people sick so that they're dependent on the medical system from cradle to grave. I mean, day one, don't they give a kid a hepatitis B vaccination? Like, right out of the womb, here's a shot, bang. And they wonder why the kids are sick from that point on. Well, I mean, they don't wonder. They know exactly why. But parents who don't know, they don't understand why their kids are sick. And it's very frustrating for people like me and you and people that are listening to this when we know this hurts people. And people look at you when you try to tell them something like you have five heads. Like, how dare you try to, like, tell me something that I didn't know or that I built my whole entire way of thinking, my entire life on these set standard ways of thinking. And when you go and tell somebody that's the opposite of what they've been brought up to believe, it sets off that cognitive dissonance emergency in their brain where their first reaction is to scoff at what you're trying to tell them. It pains them. It's literally a pain to hear this kind of information. So their mind, as a protective barrier, tries to distance itself from what it just heard.
Right. There is a whole psychology behind why people can't accept this, even though their lives depend on the fact that they do. But I want to bring something else up. In terms of Philadelphia, there's a man rotting in jail for 19 years for shaken baby syndrome when his child died from over-vaccination. And he's doing time instead of the doctor and the pharmaceutical industry and anyone revealing the true cause of this child's death. So there is a webinar I would like to tell people about. It's going to be on February 5th, which is Wednesday, from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you go to tinyurl.com/SBS hoax, which is Shaken Baby Syndrome Hoax, tinyurl.com/ SBS hoax, you can sign up for this webinar and get an ebook by Christina England, which is a 50-page treasure. And I am just telling people about this because not only is it a double crime, it's sometimes a triple crime where both parents are being charged with shaken baby syndrome. This, I believe, is the ultimate plan, is to kill all the children and incarcerate all the parents. And I think that the fact that the justice system and the police officers and all the people who are involved in investigating and reporting, and everybody's in on it. The lawyers who represent their clients, the parents, they will allow testimony from medical experts on this issue. Their own lawyer. And they're sending their own clients to jail. So everybody's in on it.
I know. Yeah. It's so frustrating.
There's a man in Philadelphia, and I'm really thinking we have to go visit him. We have to go visit him and let him know that we know, and that his horrid existence of losing his child and then spending life in jail, we get it, and we are actively outreaching to say this is wrong. You know, he probably can't even get visitors because everybody knows it's wrong. They know what's going on. Everybody at every level knows that this is a double crime against the parent. So,
that's humanity.
Well, yeah, obviously. So, and I think that this is the ultimate plan. They have to keep the jails full, don't you know? They've got to be on at 100% capacity or they're going to close.
Well, it's a prison industrial complex. You know, you have 10 people doing a job in prison that they'd have to pay one person on the outside to do that. So it's a modern version of slavery. You know, they have all these people in jail. They have these jail industries, call centers, you know, real jobs that they don't have to pay prisoners. They could pay them 10 cents on the dollar that they'd have to pay you or me or somebody else on the outside.
Well, let's say it's a government contract. It's not like the government or we aren't paying full price for it. It's just that the prisoners themselves are getting short shifted. You know, so an absolutely disturbing video, which I must find, promoting prison labor. Oh my Lord! You look at this. And I rarely have been more jaw-dropped in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, another thing, going back to the baby thing, what about sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, where kids just die? You know, did they get a vaccination in the hospital before they came home and just suddenly died?
Well, it's happening every day, and quite frankly, I have an event on February 21st at 244 West 54th Street on the 10th floor in Studio One, February 21st at 6 p.m., and we are dealing with all of these issues. And I'm telling people to come out of the woodworks because New York City is targeting its children worse than everywhere. So we have got to free the children of New York City, and I need everyone to show up who can hear this and is within the tri-state area. So contact me. My contact is directly under the screen, and we up with this, we will not put.
Word.
So, Josh, we only have a minute left. Please give some closing thoughts, if you would.
Closing thoughts. Well, I guess an observation that I've seen is that a lot more people are awakening. It's such a cliche, but it seems like either people are going farther into sleep, into their zombie way of thinking, or they're awakening up and realizing that there's a much bigger universe out there, and it's almost like a race. Are there going to be enough people that are going to wake up to stop what's going on against the human race here? Or are they just going to be able to take over and, you know, force everybody to have vaccines and put chips in everybody and all that? So it's a very exciting time to be alive, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.